Hey, you guys, you're going to want to listen all the way through to this episode to find out exactly where Kelly will be retiring.
And try to guess what's the first video game I've ever played.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert, it got me 1 point in Kelly's trivia today.
Very good.
And then, of course, we'll figure out why Sharon has such an affinity for joysticks.
That'll tell you everything I do.
Enjoy the show, everyone.
90s Now with Kelly Alexander and Sharon Hyland.
Oh, hi.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. It's me, Sharon. That's Kelly. That's Adam. How are you guys?
We're good, baby.
Oh, thank you. Now you're calling me baby. All right.
Please introduce introduce Shadow for those who are watching.
Yeah, anybody that's watching. This is Shadow because he's so handsome.
He's so cutesy.
He's a good baby.
When's his birthday, Sharon?
His birthday, November. Okay. That's a lie. March. Okay. Just grab one of the months and commit to it. It's March, and his birthday was just a couple of weeks ago, beginning of March. Okay. And he's 9 now. But he's still a baby.
He's super cutesy. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, he's a good boy.
Very nice.
Yeah, so we got stuff to get to. It's sort of like a good news, bad news situation, because if you were looking forward to a home improvement reunion, well, we're going to dash those dreams. But we'll counter it with a new podcast. Maybe you'll just be satisfied by hearing about it so you don't divert your attention from the one you're listening to right now. But it's tied into the fact that it's happening for real this time. Before I say that, we should also say that there will be Kelly's Trivia, just to keep us humble and scared, and a 90s rewind that I can say I had a hard time choosing. So instead of one handful of songs, I will give you two handfuls of songs. Yeah, I know. Ooh. It's just like it was one after the other. I'm like, I can't pick that over that. I'm just going to do them all.
What a treat.
Yeah. So what's happening for real this time is that Tori Spelling has filed for divorce from Dean McDermott. Now, this isn't news. They've been on a rocky path for a little while. And he actually filed the separation papers back last summer, like in June. So what's happening is that crappy ball is rolling. So I thought, you know, knowing that she's got her crew in her corner, we've got actual quotable proof of that. So I figure we should start there today. So I guess we're starting in the sad corner, which is that, like, you know, since they did separate last June, it's not news, but now that she's filed and it's irreconcilable differences, and Jenny Garth and Ian Ziering are the ones that have spoken up as far as having her back, which is no surprise. Jenny Garth was the one that said that that they bonded and forged a really strong, unique friendship at such a young age when they were on Beverly Hills 90210. She said, and that kind of bond doesn't ever go away. It's unbreakable. So she's got her back. Ian Ziering, who I didn't realize was as much older than those two girls specifically. Jenny Garth is like 51. Ian Ziering's 59.
I know. I actually had that thought just moments ago when I reread our topics. I was like,
yep.
Adam, can you actually check that? Because I sometimes wonder, like, is it really true? Is he really 59?
Whose age do you want to know?
Ian Ziering.
Ian Ziering.
Yep. I'm not sure if Tori and Jenny are still doing their 90210 podcast, because they have.
I'm not sure of that either.
I feel like it's not happening, but.
Well, and also we're going to talk about, it's her podcast that we're going to talk about, but we're going to save it until after we do trivia so that we can sort of just dig in on what's going on with these two and the friends and stuff. Ian Ziering, I thought, was really thoughtful when he said, we support each other through life's ups and downs. After the show, we still care about each other. So whenever there's a victory, we all pull together and lend support and pride. And when there's a challenging times, we come together and offer whatever support we can from wherever we are. So it's they're with her. They're supporting their friend. Mm-hmm. She has got, what, 5 kids?
5, I believe. Yeah.
Any ranging in age from 16 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... she's got a lot going on, right?
He just turned 60, by the way, last week.
Oh, wow.
Ian.
He's 60?
Just like Shadow.
Yeah, March 30th, 1964. That's when he came into this world.
That is crazy.
He had the blonde youthful thing going for him back in the day.
He still looks
blonde.
Have
pegged him as...
He still looks young. Like, he doesn't look a day over 50, 45, 58.
Yeah.
No, he looks good.
Yeah, he does look good, and he works out, and he did those Sharknadoes. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is there's not always, like, sometimes when you're an actor, you really get pegged for a role, like, that's your role for life, kind of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got two of them, kind of like Shannon Doherty, because Shannon's got 90210 and Charmed, and I'm sure others, but, like, those are the ones that really stick out to me. But for him, mm-hmm. it's 90210 and Sharknadoes.
So. And we also think of Shannon Doherty on, what was that show?
Little House on
with
the Prairie?
Wilfred Brimley. What?
Little House on the Prairie?
Well, she was super little on that, super cute, but she was also on that show with Wilfred Brimley and and Marlena from
Deirdre Hall?
Yeah.
They were on a show?
Yeah.
Do you hear all my questions in my
question mark? Question mark? Question mark? Before Wilfred Brimley did oatmeal commercials and talking about diabetes, he had another show. He was still a senior at that point. He had had a long career by that point, but that was a show. Can you look that up, Adam? Wilfred Brimley, a show in the 90s.
I don't remember this show at all. She was on a show. So this was before 90210? No.
Keep asking, Kel. It's going to sink in. Did it really happen?
Yeah. Because 90210 is what, 89 to like whatever. Well, she only did 3 seasons, right, before she got fired.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a series in what year?
Like late 80s, 90s.
Late 80s.
I loved his oatmeal commercials, I have to say.
I loved how he managed his diabetes.
But he actually made oatmeal sound enticing. He did.
Was it Our House?
Yes, it was.
I don't even know.
86 to 88, Our House.
So, there we go.
Never heard of this. Never heard
I've blended my eras into one chunk of time.
Like your Taylor Swift era?
Yes, exactly.
By the way, just a quick sidebar. I would like to mention that obviously this is several weeks after St. Patrick's Day. However, we recently found out that our Virgin float was the media float of the parade because we won it for media. And
for the radio, you mean?
For radio floats, whatever. Anyways, we were the Taylor Swift era's float.
Oh.
We were the Swiftie bus.
I was trying to figure out what the connection was. Like, is she just bragging out of the blue? Oh, no, it's because we mentioned Taylor Swift.
Yeah, this is the era's bus. And we actually had a big sign that I was very smart from our promotions department that said we're in our Irish era.
Oh, that is
clever.
Smart.
Yeah. If you actually go on my Instagram at Kelly Alexander with two X's, you'll see the pictures if you go back to like March 17th. And very proud that we've lost for a while now. So it's very happy that we kicked some butt, especially because our affiliated television station usually wins. And so, haha, we got
suckers.
Yeah. So, a banner day. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. It's obviously because you were there that you won, and good for you.
All because of me, I have to tell you.
So back to the Tori Spelling thing, because we will talk about how, you know, she's obviously going to talk about her situation and share whatever amount of detail she is interested in sharing on her new podcast. So we'll talk about how she's going to handle things. But we'll do that, I thought, maybe like after we did some trivia.
If we make it out alive.
Good luck, man.
90s. Now. Trivia.
Bing bong.
Bingity bingity.
I think these are both fun this week. So we'll start with sporting news. By the way, also sidebar, it's the NCAA championship for March Madness, you know. And last year I was super excited because LSU kicked Iowa's butt in women's basketball. It's been the reverse this year. So they haven't won. Iowa hasn't won the championship yet, but they beat my LSU Tigers. So I'm a little sad.
Don't be sad. It's making news. Like the most watched events are happening now.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It's true. No, they're amazing.
Like most watched sporting events beating anything from last year or this year so far.
Yeah.
That is women's sports.
It's amazing.
I like that.
And I think that like the record breaking numbers of people watching is just like insane. It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So question number one in the sport category.
Yes.
In which stadium was the 1994 FIFA World Cup final played?
You have to know the name of the stadium or the city?
The name of the
I'm city. Asking like I would know either.
Well, it's funny. It's funny because I'm asking for the stadium, the 1994 FIFA World Cup, but the answer actually says blah, blah, blah in blah, blah, blah. Like, so it gives me the name of the stadium and the city.
Okay.
So if you
I'm
get one of them,
I'm big stadiums in European cities that I know.
Well, it's actually in, it's in, I'll give it, well, does it say in which
Just
city?
Give us a hint, Kelly. Just give it to
it's in
us
America.
A hint.
America. America.
It's in America.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Adam. I'm going to go with, oh, brother.
Yep, go Adam.
The Hard Rock Cafe Stadium in Miami.
Nope.
Isn't that where the Dolphins play? I thought it was a nice guess.
It used to be, I remember, it used to be called Joe Robbie Stadium in Miami, but I guess now with all the corporate sponsorships.
And now with the success of the Barbie movie, it's the Margot Robbie Stadium.
Yeah, exactly. Good one, Sharon.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's the Hard Rock Stadium. So no cafe, but the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
That's a cool name for, I'm impressed Hard Rock ponied up for the amount of money it would cost to have a stadium named after you.
No kidding.
Yeah, Sharon.
All right, that was my guess. You go ahead now.
I'm going to guess that it was in the Galaxy Stadium in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's a nice guess. No.
I know it's wrong.
Wrong, yeah. and I think, well, Sharon might be like, ooh, when I say this, the Rose Bowl in Pasadena.
Oh, that's
Oh,
pleasant.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the 1994 FIFA World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. P.S. My grandma watches that parade every year. I love it.
Wow.
Yeah. My grandma.
Isn't the Rose Bowl like also like a sporting event?
Yeah.
My...
That's college football. It's always played. Like,
oh, there
right
we go.
It's always
football.
Played right around New Year's, right? So.
So is it the Super Bowl for college football?
Well, the thing, there is one, I'm sure if you Googled it, I can't, like, I don't know, I don't think the Rose Bowl is the big one. The National Championship, I think, has another game name. I don't know if it's the Gator Bowl. Anyways, it's something else. Cotton Bowl. No, that's not it. But there's, in college football, they have, like I don't know, 12 bowls that you could be in. You can be in the Cotton Bowl, the Gator Bowl, you could be the Rose Bowl. There's many bowls. There's many bowls going on.
All but, the bowls.
But Adam, could you actually check? Like, I don't know what the name of the actual national championship one where it's team, you know, team.
Well, I'm looking. So it says it's traditionally played on January 1st. And the Rose Bowl game has hosted the conference champions from the Big Ten and Pac-12 conferences since 1947.
Then maybe it is. I thought it was another
one. So it
one.
Says winners of the game receive the Leishman Trophy.
Hmm. You referring to all the bowl games reminded me of that scene in Best in Show with Christopher Guest going, he's saying he could name all the nuts. The peanut, the cashew nut, Brazil nut, macadamia nut. He just keeps going.
That's a great
one. Like you.
Yeah. I only think I got out four bowls, but there's many because there's like, and then there's, oh yeah, there's like the, I think it's the Siesta Bowl. And I think
the what?
I think so, yeah. And I think
that,
or the Tostitos Bowl. There's because Tostitos, I think, sponsors Ooh. One of them.
Nice.
So, but I think it's the Siesta Bowl. Anyways, there's many. There's too many bowls to count, is what I'm saying. Yeah,
too many bowls to wash.
Yep. So,
all right,
that's
well,
also
we're one
true.
Down and one to go.
Here
okay?
we go. So this is under the hobbies, toys, and games card.
Great.
I never yep. get those.
Me neither.
You guys sometimes get these ones. What were the first two colors of Pokemon games released in the U.S. and Europe?
Adam.
Oh.
Red and blue.
Go Adam!
Woo, woo, woo!
And after Woo! You say you don't get them and you got one.
I had the red one.
Oh, did you?
Wowza.
Yeah, I was 5 years old. I had good grades at school and my parents bought me the Game Boy Color.
Wow, nice.
And they bought me the Pokemon, the little square game.
That's
and
cute.
Wow, I played that game for so long. Then there was Silver and Gold.
Okay.
And then there was Ruby and Sapphire.
Hmm.
And then I stopped playing, but they released a bunch more. So that's the first video game I've ever played, Pokemon
cool.
Red.
Good job.
You know which game I really like, I find very relaxing, but I haven't played it in years, is Tetris. I love a good Tetris.
You find that relaxing? For real?
Yeah.
Stresses me out.
Really?
Well, I like it until you start running out of space. And the computer knows that you're running out of space, so it starts dropping the things faster, 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 and then you're...
I played... it's exactly like Tetris, but it's Mario Doctor.
Oh, yeah. I never heard of it.
So it was on... Was it the Super Nintendo it was on? Or on my Nintendo Switch, they have like a emulator, is what they call it. So you can play like old games.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
And I had like a subscription with when I bought the Nintendo Switch, and it came with all those games. It was a lot of fun to play.
Neato.
Give that one a go.
I have this classic plug in your TV game. So it's a joystick.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Who doesn't love a joystick, right? And you plug it into the TV, and within the joystick, there are classic games. So Pac-Man is on this thing.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, and it's just plugged right into the TV. Like
so
the,
what, like through the HDMI cable, or?
No, it's older than that. So it's just like the red, white, and yellows.
Wow. Yep.
Whatever those are, just stick them in and then your game starts.
A lot of new TVs don't have those anymore, right? It's frustrating.
Good thing I don't have a new TV.
Good thing.
Huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's my retro game's going to be too retro to be cool.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you guys. So we'll talk about the podcast that Tori Spelling is set to do, and not in a way to get you to, you know, be distracted from this class act, but she announced a new podcast, and the promo hype that sort of was around it to tease it goes a little something like this. In a town where lines are blurred, it's finally come to clear the air. Finally time to come. Okay, hold on. Start all over. In a town where lines are blurred, it's finally time to clear the air with the misunderstood misspelling. Follow Tori as she confronts the missteps, the mistakes, and the misconceptions. Misspelling is ready to reveal what's real and what's fake, as she strips down her Hollywood persona. If you think reports are shocking, just wait until you hear the truth. Because when a woman has nothing to lose, she has everything to gain.
Well, that's really dramatic.
I know. Thank you.
Good job, Sharon. Good job.
And do you think it was written to be read that way?
Or well, clearly not, because I messed up the beginning. So, in a town where lines are blurred. So that's kind of cool. I think that's it's neat that she's doing that for someone who's has always pretty much had a lot of conversation around her actions, and I think a lot of it is because she puts herself out there.
Mm-hmm.
She would be the perfect person to, you know, dispel any of the myths or misconceptions, or even react to her own mistakes and make clear why certain things are done certain ways. Like they said, when you have nothing to lose, that's probably the best time to sort of cleanse it all in front of everybody.
You know what I wonder is when her dad died and there was a lot of money, I think he was worth like $800 million or something.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Wow.
Yep.
The mom got all of it, I believe.
Yeah.
And so the kids didn't.
Right.
And she's gone through some financial turmoil, I think, because like, I think she had a healthy habit of spending, I think, when she was younger.
I don't even understand that concept. How do you have a spending problem with $800 million? All you would have to do is put one of those million away and be able to exist, you know, like just so that it would generate interest or whatever, and then go cuckoo with the other $799 million. And, you know, have fun with it or whatever. I don't understand where it goes for these people.
Yeah, well,
why are they the ones with the money when clearly I have a plan, Kelly and Adam?
Well, I think the plan is that the mom still has a lot of it. I don't think, but I think Tori had to fend for herself because I don't remember exactly the story, but I think it was like the dad was like very careful where his money was going when he was passing away because she, I believe, did have spending problems. I think if we were even to look like back in the day, I think she went, I don't know if she went bankrupt, but she was in money trouble.
Are you talking about Tori or the mother?
The Tori.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think you know this. We talked about wills the other day, Kelly and I, and how important that they are to have and just make sure that your stuff is in order. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon that you would that the spouse would leave everything to the other spouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, manage it accordingly. So there's two kids. He had two kids, right?
Yeah, Randy.
Randy and her.
Mm-hmm.
So the mother would be able to sort of dole out some money. But if she knows that, one of the kids has a spending problem,
yep,
then she's probably not going to be super keen on.
Yep. Well, say alleged, but I'm pretty, Adam, can you just quickly check? I'm pretty sure if you type Tori Spelling, like bankrupt or financial trouble, I'm pretty sure she went, this was well before she was with Dean, I believe. So, so she had, and now Randy, by the way, is hosting a podcast with Brian Austin Green. Did you know that?
Oh, cool. No, I didn't. That's
neat. It's called Oldish. I've listened to like one or two episodes, and he lives now, I think, Randy, in like Seattle or something. Like he's not, he left Los Angeles. I think he's married. I think he has kids. And it sounds like he's, like it's like, I don't know if he's a trained therapist or a life coach. Like he's something, he's
maybe
definitely.
Maybe he's a ventriloquist.
Maybe.
Either a therapist or a ventriloquist.
Something probably. with a piece to it, like off piece.
Here's the info I have on misspelling. Apparently in January 2023, she owed $1.3 million to the IRS.
Okay.
Yikes. Which is about 9 times more than her estimated net worth, according to this internet source that
nine
I haven't
times,
double-checked.
9 times more than her net worth?
Well, that's what it says here.
Yeah, but I think, like, I don't know if it was, like, 2006 or, like, early 2000s. I'm pretty sure she had, like, lots of money trouble. It was not...
For sure.
Yeah, so... But yeah, so well, and then because and I know too for out. A while she and her mother were estranged, like for several years, and I think it's only been maybe the last 4 or 5 that they, because she even posted I think on Instagram a picture of her and Randy and the mom. This might be 3 or 4 years ago now, where it was like something like, "Long time coming. We haven't sat in like the same room all together," something like that. So happy that they're back on the rails, and I do think Candy is involved now with the kids' lives. So.
Candy is the mother's name, if anybody didn't know that.
Yeah, Candy Spelling.
Kelly wasn't speaking in code. Yeah. Candy's on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine your name is Candy.
Well, it's Candace, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we called Candace Cameron, Candy Cameron.
Oh, she would not love that.
She wouldn't love it because it would probably sound too porny for her.
Yeah.
And she's very, very, very not porny.
Yeah. So. She actually celebrated her 47th birthday the other day.
Wow.
I knew we were similar in age. She's much older than I am.
Yeah, she is. Signif. Yeah. Hey, so you know what? We talked about having our hearts broken. Anybody that was looking for a home improvement reunion, not happening. And I think when we talked about that a few shows ago, that it was Tim Allen that was sort of what we're learning now is kind of stirring the pot. He was the one that was saying there was going to be a reunion, right? We've all read the story about how Patricia Richardson, who played his Tim Allen's wife on Home Improvement, and she's not mincing any words, right? She was on this other podcast or an interview show where she said, "I would not want to. I mean, Zach," who played the oldest son, she says, "I mean, Zach is now a felon. Taryn hasn't acted since he left the show. And Jonathan is not really interested in acting. And we don't have Wilson. So if we did it without the late Earl Hindman, and, you know, also we have just 2 kids, probably if that, it's not going to be the same show."
She's fierce.
At all. Fierce. I just, like, checklist... on fire, right?
Yeah.
Zach is a felon.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay.
Because I could picture her saying that, like, in Jill Taylor voice. Like,
yeah.
Because I loved her as a TV mom. She was, like, her and Patricia Heaton, I think, were very similar.
Yes. And funny and got as many laughs, probably not as many laughs, but were capable of getting as many laughs as their male lead counterparts.
Yeah. And Leah Remini would have been also, I know that, I don't think they didn't have kids on King of Queens, but she was like, that actually would be funny is if those three had a sitcom together.
Yeah.
That would be hot.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
So no more home improvement dreams for anybody who had them.
Safe and Ela.
Yeah, she was just, I just like, you know, very straightforward and clearly how she check down the list of people who couldn't do it. But she also talked about how she was in communication with Jonathan Taylor Thomas, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, they talk, it's like they talk like regular people, mostly because they're regular people. But like, hey, is he saying that? Well, why? Because we're not going to do it. Like that kind of a conversation. So she recounted that style of conversation with him too. So I'm not sure what it is that Tim Allen would have to gain by teasing that there could be a reunion of this show.
Yeah.
She is not having it.
No, she
So,
you could
and
have
if
also,
she's not having it, nobody's having it.
Sharon, you could have also been a fierce TV mom.
Thank you, dear.
Yeah. Yep. Maybe the maybe those three plus you would have been like the new Golden Girls.
Oh, easy, sister. I'm not quite in the golden category yet.
Not yet.
Getting
Mind
close
you,
to it by the I, second.
Do you know what? I am getting close to it. I mentioned with glee, I think, when I had my last birthday, right, that because I'm 55, I'm eligible for discounts in certain stores, right?
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, la Fadoc. Doesn't it start at
Fadoc,
50 even?
Fadoc starts at 50. You get discounts for, like, home insurance and car insurance. So you pay a membership and then you get, you know, money knocked off your annual. But, like, we have a store here, a department store called The Bay, which is named after the Hudson's Bay Company, right? So every Tuesday, 55 and greater, as they refer to it, 55 and greater or 55 and better, every Tuesday get 10% off.
Wow.
Really?
Just for being 55.
And don't they do that?
I bought
like
sheets.
For...
Like, I'm going on a Tuesday. It was
Didn't
oddly
Didn't Costco
exciting.
Open the doors earlier for older people?
For the older people who'd been up for longer anyways?
Well, don't they do that? Maybe it was just a COVID thing.
Oh,
that
maybe.
They led them earlier, but it rings a bell in my
I know
my
they
head.
Definitely did it during they definitely did it during COVID. I'm not sure if they've
oh,
kept
yeah.
it up. But
now the other thing that's interesting is that there's you know, how there's every city has construction and condo buildings going up. Well, there's certain places near where I live in the suburbs that are specifically for you know, 55 and older crowd. So I'm like, am I ready for that? Am I ready for bus trips to the mall and day trips to the museum? And I'm like, I think I might be ready for that. Someone else is driving and I get to go on tours. Okay. We're going to get a discount on our lunch that we're going to have at 11:30 and dinner at 4? Sure. Okay. Sign me up.
You know what's hilarious is Elaine said to me probably about in the last month, she goes, because she's always like, I'm going to rock retirement. And I'm like, stop wishing
totally.
Your life away, you know? And then she goes, and she's like, and when this house gets too much for us, I'm going to move into Florea, which is like an old folks establishment, like not far away. And so I said, well, have at it. Good luck with your day-old Danishes and whatever else they're going to feed you for your soft teeth. But I said to my brother, I said, you know, in the end, it's going to be you and me living in a mobile home in like La Plaine. So,
they sit on like lawn chairs.
Yeah.
From the 80s.
Yeah, because Elaine goes, I can't wait to go to bingo at lunchtime or whatever. I was like, okay.
When did Kelly give up? When she stopped wearing a bra.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. She lives in a Winnebago now.
Yeah. Oh, don't you worry, Sharon. It'll be fancy. I'll have an Airstream. Watch it.
Ooh, okay. Then I'll visit.
Yeah. By the way, I looked at one because I'm often on Facebook Marketplace. I'm just a bit obsessed with that for only certain things, but I constantly monitor things. Anyways, one time a suggestion came up like maybe 2 weeks ago, and it was one of those like motor homes like that look like an actual tour bus or whatever.
Right. Yes.
So I was like, oh, I'm just going to click in it just because I wanted to see like what the thing. Anyways, this thing was almost $500,000. And I'm like, who in the heck can afford this thing? So now anyways, because I clicked on it once, of course, the algorithm keeps sending me these fancy, snazzy Winnebago things.
Well, they think retire. You have money.
They do. And I'm like, you would have to literally, actually one of them that I saw was more than my house. Like, it was more than my house.
That's wild. Like, it's truly an investment. And you know what? Talking about retirement, anybody that I know that has retired is nailing it.
Okay, good.
Honestly.
Good for
you, them. The whole idea is that, you know, you plan accordingly and hopefully you have enough to sort of enjoy life and do fun things while you're physically able to do them instead of you know, waiting and sort of getting dying to a point where you're, you know, your parts start breaking and you can't do the stuff. So it's finding that balance of maybe keeping the job that you love so you can stay sharp mentally and do all the fun things physically that you want to do.
Yeah. But it's funny because I've seen a few people now that have retired, and within like a few years of them retiring, they got sick and died. So
their pants are a little higher.
Their pants are a little higher and lunch starts a little earlier. But they really, like, I think when you retire, you have to really have a plan of like what you're going to do and have some kind of routine. Because I even told Elaine, I'm like, you cannot be off the rails. Because after Christmas, she's like, she can't handle it. Like, I have to get her back on the rails after a week of Christmas. So.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness, dear.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
Okay, well,
but
you know what?
You start using the word Chesterfield like you like, and slacks.
Slacks. You wear your dungarees.
Yeah, exactly.
Your dungarees?
Yeah, it's this a term for pants. Huh. Yeah, I know. Never heard of it. Okay, so I did give you fair warning that there would be two handfuls of songs for your 90s rewind. Are you ready?
Do it.
Yeah, man.
And I thought to maybe divert the attention, I would throw in a mandatory Janet Jackson, because we are going back to 1990. So Escapade was a happening thing around this time. Lots of female presence actually in this couple handfuls of tunes, like the B-52s and Rome. Remember that album, Cosmic Thing? Loved it. Remember the song from Madonna, Keep It Together?
Oh, I love that song.
I think that's one of those songs that I certainly on the list of ones that I haven't heard in a really long time, but like, hey, that was a hit. And that totally represents 1990 really well. Technotronic, We're Getting It Done. Get Up Before the Night Is Over. Also, Jane Child. Wasn't she Canadian?
Yes.
Isn't she still? Don't Want to Fall in Love was her song. Also had Alana Miles, Canadian, with her huge crossover hit, Black Velvet, which country stars also had success with. But
such a great song.
Certainly put her on the map, that's for sure. Lisa Stansfield. How about that name from the past? She was all around the world. And I. She couldn't find her baby. Where did I put that baby? Anyways. And Taylor Dane, who's getting all kinds of attention now for what's the song that she's... Tell It to My Heart.
Oh.
Which is kind of new and improved, but makes you think of the original because it's really that close. But Love Will Lead You Back was such a sing-along song in that sort of My Heart Is Broken. You get me, Taylor Dane. And around this time in 1990, it was number one. And that is your 90s rewind.
Thank you, Sharon.
Taylor Dane. Thank you. AKA Leslie Wonderman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's her real name.
Should be Wonder Woman.
Yeah, exactly. She's actually, I follow her on Facebook, and she just posted something the other day, and it was like a little short video of one of her gigs, and she was doing meet and greets in the back. And she actually looked happy, unlike when you met Salt and Peppa.
My goodness, Salt and Peppa. Can we stand under a light so that nobody can see that it's you? Please, can we do that? Can we take, when they said, we're going to take one picture of the both of you, I'm like, no, you're not, actually.
Yeah.
We paid a lot of money for this. You're going to take it. And it didn't even look like them. We looked like us.
Maybe it was.
They didn't look like them.
Maybe it was the early stages of AI.
Ugh, God. What a rip.
Maybe. Before we go, so we have an audience question.
Yes.
Audience question from Emily. She wants to know, or she wants us to pick our favorite song from an alternative band in the 90s.
Oh, my. Yeah. Emily, could you have called that one in a little sooner so I could think about it?
Yeah.
She couldn't know. Alternative 90s.
Fave track.
How about you, Kel? Why don't you start since you
have
more time with it?
I have too many, but I will pick one that I just, like, that was my jam. Black Hole Sun.
Oh, that's good.
Soundgarden.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Very good pick.
Yeah, I also would say No Rain, but like, I guess that's alternative enough from, yeah.
It is a good one. Mm. I think one of my, I just see the song title now because I'm cheating and taking a little sneak peek on the internet. I would probably lean on REM.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because they are certainly one of the pioneers of that genre. What am I going to pick? Gosh, there was what I loved about REM in the 90s was, at least for the back-to-back albums of Automatic for the People and Monster, was that Automatic for the People was like an acoustic-ish album where everybody else was grunging it up, right? Like, so in 1992, we were still having our minds blown by the Nirvanas and the Soundgardens and the Pearl Jams and the Alice in Chains and stuff like that. And REM, being influential to all of those bands, were very acoustic with Automatic for the People. Just such a great album.
Mm-hmm.
And then when everybody else was all like, hey, we're going to do an Unplugged for MTV, and they started doing acoustic stuff, REM releases Monster, which is like this crunchy electric guitar driven album. Just so good. So shall I pick one from each? Why not? Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight from Automatic for the People, because it's fun and toe-tappy. And I don't know, Star 69 from Monster.
Oh, very good.
Really good.
I'm Thank also going to propose two songs.
Very good.
Love that song, Sex and Candy, Marcy Playground.
Oh, fun, yeah.
And I'll go with One Headlights by the Wallflowers.
Oh, good one. That's a really good
That's
one.
That's a very good one.
They're just my easy listening jams that yeah. just put me in a yep. smiley, happy vibe.
I would say that Sixth Avenue Heartache from that same album from the Wallflowers is just yep. one of the, it's just, it's so signature to that time. Mm-hmm. Like it had an age to it when it was new, you know? So, and I think that's pretty impressive for a new band at that time. So, hey, thank you, Emily.
Yeah.
For asking such a thoughtful question.
I think I picked No Rain because I also wanted to be the Bumblebee girl. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's
so
fun.
Good. Yeah. And I felt bad. Cool. Obviously so many of the artists we've lost, but like yeah, like he died young, you know. Was it 95 mm-hmm. he passed away? It wasn't.
And wasn't it like tragic the way he died?
Drugs. Oh, yeah, it was drugs.
Yeah.
Blind Melon?
Yeah. Yeah. Shannon Hoon is his name. And yeah. they had I mean
thought
that's
he
their
died sing- like I thought he got hit by like his tour bus or something.
Oh, Jack.
Maybe I'm just getting things wrong.
No, Shannon had drugs problems.
There was well, if yeah. he did okay. get hit by a bus, it wouldn't have been surprising since the drugs.
Huh.
Yeah. Blind Melon had another song called Tones of Home.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is very good.
Yeah.
Like they often just get referred to like as a one-hit wonder, and certainly the idea that you have a signature song at the root of that description, but Tones of Home is a really good song.
Wasn't he good friends too, Shannon, with Axl Rose?
Yeah, he sang the harmony, the high harmony on Don't Cry right, with Guns N' okay. Roses from the Use Your Illusion album.
Yeah.
And he did die of a drug overdose.
There we go.
Cocaine to be.
Does it say how old was he?
More
was
precise.
He in the 27 club? I hope not.
He's not.
He was 28.
No.
Just
he missed
it.
He had just turned 28 3 weeks before.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, you guys, may he rest in 90s rock and peace. And Emily, thank you again for asking that question. You guys have questions, you can send them to Kelly's house. She'll get them and pass them to us.
It's what I do. I'm also timely.
Yes. Prompt as
F.
Prompt AF, you guys. Thank you very much for finding us. Passing on the good word and taking us wherever it is that you wherever it is you gotta go. We gotta go. So thank you for listening to 90s Now, still happening.